Principle 1. The Muslim Advantage. Islam and wealth. Islam wants you wealthy. The Muslim entrepreneur does his best while relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as human beings are dependent on God as our provider. We are all dependent on rain and land for food, clothes, and shelter after all. Every single one of us since Adam alayhi salam. So all of us are invited to seek sustenance, but also ask our Creator. That is why some of the prophets were actually extremely wealthy. They asked Allah, their provider. One story that comes to mind is that of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was the son of King Dawud. He was also a messenger of Allah. After thanking Allah for the wealth he already had been blessed with, he asked to be given more than anybody in this whole universe. That is ambition right there. He was known to own a kingdom not just on earth but also in the air, the sea, and even the invisible kingdom of the jinn. The prophets were known to be the best of humans and the best examples to follow. It should be clear that those examples are given in the Quran so that we may benefit and even emulate them. When you ask, take into consideration the one you are asking. He owns everything, so make sure you ask a lot. God is infinite and can bless you with infinite wealth. When you go see one of the richest men alive, maybe Bill Gates or Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, and they offer you a chance to get funding for whatever project you want to work on, how much will you ask for? Would you go to the trouble of getting his time just to ask for a new laptop or $1,000? Or would you go for a more significant project? Now consider the fact that Allah created that rich man, owns him and everything that he also has. So ask, my friend, and watch what happens. Those Muslims left a fortune. The Prophet ﷺ himself was an entrepreneur. This is reflected in all the accounts of his life. You can see how this affects any Muslim individual who is following his teachings, Sunnah. When he was about 12 years of age, he went to Syria with his uncle, Abu Talib, on a caravan. The Meccans used to pool their resources together to venture in trade. They would buy merchandise from Syria and sell it them in Arabia. The Syrians would buy Arabian goods from them in exchange. During the early 20s, he became a manager for a wealthy noblewoman, Khadija bin Uwaylid radiallahu anha, whom he eventually married. Islam is unique in that it developed in the most active trading cities of old Arabia, and the Islamic faith continued to spread through trade. The Silk Road spanning three continents is one example of how trade defined Muslim identity. In my study of Muslim entrepreneurs, I interviewed a few people from the Muslim trading families of the Silk Road that migrated to Africa. They brought with them the belief that there is opportunity everywhere you go. Today, some of them are multi-millionaires. You too can have this attitude, and it is a big advantage for you. There is no contradiction between reaching success in this life and the next, thanks to the example of the Prophet ﷺ and his amazing companions. The majority of the Sahaba that were promised paradise died wealthy. When Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu passed away, he left a fortune so big that it took 3 years to establish all his wealth and distribute inheritance between his wives, children, and close relatives. This is an aspect of the lives of the companions that is often neglected. We also have the example of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who was reputed to own half of all the businesses conducted in Muslim lands at one point. Try to imagine, nowadays, a multi-millionaire imam or scholar. The good news is that you will have the opportunity to meet some of them as this book progresses. They did it right. The Qur'an clearly emphasizes trade. One such passage is with the Prophet Shu'aib telling his people, "Give full measure and weight, and do not diminish to mend their things. This is better for you if you are a believer." Al-Qur'an, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 85. The prophets were honest and upright. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known as the trustworthy one, Al-Amin. He prospered through honesty. According to Dr. Miles Davis, an African-American Muslim dean of the Shenandoah Business School, everybody wants good quality products and services. If the other party knows your reputation for quality and honesty, then you are golden. On one incident, the Prophet ﷺ showcased the epitome of honesty. He was so honest that even those plotting against him left their gold and other valuables in his care. They were plotting to kill him, yet they did not take their money back.
That was because they trusted his service. He was trustworthy, faithful in speech and action. He was upright. That is the reason why some traders prosper, because of trust. The stock market would not work without trust. The internet would not have worked either. Say I went to buy a laptop from a website. I log into the website that I have to trust. Then I click a button to buy the laptop and the money is taken from my account. I don't have the laptop, yet I already paid. The only reason why I might be comfortable with the situation is if I believe the website will honor their word and send me the laptop. Without trust, everything is much slower. In an environment with little trust, I might want to visit the store in person, know the name of the owner, and maybe even get their address. You get the picture. Lack of trust means slow business. So get the trust factor up if you want to prosper. It takes a lifetime to build this trust, and it can be ruined in an instant. We can even go a step further and say that trustworthiness is the biggest part of character. Once you know that someone is trustworthy, you can be sure that they are not hiding anything from you. This is crucial in your business dealing. At the end of the day, you can never hide from your own self. We can hide from the public, but we cannot hide from our own selves. Once we have succeeded as entrepreneurs, it is important to keep being true to ourselves and avoid long-term self-sabotage. That is also when intention plays a major role. Are we getting wealthy just for the show or to look good? Or are we working to help relatives, people, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We will talk more about this point on the chapter of work ethics. The best example. The prophetic character is unique and exceptional. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is viewed by many as the most successful person who ever lived. He grew up as an orphan and lived in poverty during his childhood, yet after the prophetic mission, he became the chief of a prosperous and peaceful region that went on to become one of the largest empires that ever existed. Many subsequent states were inspired by Islamic principles long after the initial state weakened and disappeared. Some have argued that there are also many good teachings in Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and so on. That is true, but how many prophets actually gave sound advice that you can apply today to investment? I could not find any apart from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even taught us what to do with your money once you sell your house, and this is a great advantage for the Muslim entrepreneur. That is why today, in the 21st century, many Muslim leaders in business are following his principles and his philosophies. Social justice. Social justice is a key pursuit of the Muslim entrepreneur. Any society knows that justice brings peace and more prosperity. The most successful entrepreneurs I met are also the most giving. They truly serve and are always helping people and the communities they live in. Azim Rizvi is a world-class entrepreneur who I had the opportunity to talk to. He has made major contributions to the community in which he lives in Ontario, Canada. His city is now one of the fastest growing in the country. He started literally from zero and within 2 or 3 years became the number one brokerage firm. Along with some very successful Muslim entrepreneurs and the local community, he is spearheading a project that will help his local hospital get an extra wing. Rizvi and his League of Muslim Entrepreneurs have called it the Muslim Legacy Wing. It is truly remarkable to see how service to people leads to prosperity. Now, there are businesses that are completely forbidden by the religion, such as gambling, alcohol, and so on. During the interview processes, we have done our best to avoid any businesses that generate a big part of their income through unlawful means. Apart from those extreme cases, a Muslim entrepreneur will only prosper long-term if he serves the greatest number of people through goods and services he provides. You might object to that some Muslims got wealthy by cheating or being dishonest, but that is often not the whole truth. Ask yourself this. What service do these entrepreneurs provide to people? How many people are being employed because of them? Then you will realize that all of the very successful entrepreneurs follow the principles of social justice. If they have long-term success, they are implementing this Islamic value. To ensure total justice, Islam goes a step further by prohibiting interest. In the subsequent chapters, we will go even more into detail about the social justice system and how it applies to you, the entrepreneur.